Hey, Prime members, you can listen to The Lead ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the app today.
If you travel for work, you know to pack two suits, business and swim. You know with your Delta SkyMiles Business Amex card, buying that plane ticket for a business trip can get you closer to medallion status. You know that a meeting in Montana means visiting almost every national park.
Yellowstone? Check.
Because you're the chief excursion officer. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum Business American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/business.
This is an unimaginable situation for BG to be in. We know she's safe, but we want to get her home.
That's WNBA Commissioner Kathy Engelbert talking about American basketball star Brittany Griner a few weeks ago. Griner has now been in the custody of Russian authorities for more than 2 months. But after some big developments this week, including the release of another American prisoner, there's new reason to be hopeful.
We hope that our story can offer them some hope, and we also want to let them know that we're not going to stop fighting for their loved ones to be returned as well.
Plus, with the WNBA season set to tip off this week, we look ahead at the teams and storylines to follow. From Wondery, I'm Tiffany Oshinsky. It's Wednesday, May 4th, and this is The Lead. Co-host Anders Kelto, you're back in the reporting chair again today.
That's right, Tiff. The water is warm here on the other side of the desk, so I figured I'd, you know, just stay in it for another week and do a little more reporting.
Like,
but,
it.
You know, this time it's obviously on a much more serious topic.
Right. Well, on that note, we're here today to talk about American basketball star Brittany Griner, who, as we mentioned in the intro, has been in Russian custody for more than 2 months now. And there have been some big developments in her case that I want to get to. But first, can you just remind us how we got to this present moment?
Yeah. So this all started back on March 5th.
We are closely monitoring the situation of Brittany Griner, the WNBA star who's been detained, rather, in Russia on drug charges.
That's when we first learned through a press release from Russian state media that an American woman had been detained at a Russian airport. The state media also released security footage of that woman at a baggage checkpoint. And it was pretty clear that this was Brittany Griner. You know, she's hard to mistake at 6'9" and with dreadlocks.
After scanning her bag, the officers noticed vapes, and they say they found cartridges containing liquid hash oil or cannabis oil, which is a narcotic substance. And they go on to say a criminal case was initiated against this citizen.
That same day, her wife, Sherelle, posted on Instagram, essentially confirming that Brittany was, in fact, still in Russia and asking for privacy. And it turns out, Griner had actually been detained about 2 weeks before that Russian press release came out. So by the time any of us learned what was happening with her, you know, she'd already been in Russian custody for quite a while.
The press release claimed that she had cartridges of cannabis oil. What do we know about the potential punishment for something like that in Russia?
Yeah, so Russia is known for having particularly harsh drug laws. One expert I spoke with said that the amount that she is alleged to have possessed is considered significant, which is sort of an in-between category, you know, not the lowest, not the highest, but it can carry a sentence of 5 to 10 years in prison in Russia.
Wow.
So yeah, if this case were to proceed within the Russian courts, it could potentially lead to a very serious sentence.
And since the news about Brittany Griner's detainment came out, what, in your view, has been the public reaction? What has the conversation around her been like?
So from my perspective, the reaction has been this strange combination of people talking about her case and not talking about it. So, for example, we saw some politicians come forward pretty quickly to champion her cause, including Congresswoman Sheila Jackson Lee, who represents Griner's home city of Houston.
I call upon Russia at this time to really stop harassing U.S. citizens, or more importantly, to release those that are there. Please allow Ms. Griner to safely leave.
Hillary Clinton tweeted "Free Britney" at one point. We also heard from Griner's old high school basketball coach, a woman named Debbie Jackson, who spoke with a local news station about the situation and questioned the validity of the charges.
Did Britney do this, or is she a political pawn? Was it planted?
Because that just didn't make any sense to me at all.
But we really weren't hearing anything from Brittany Griner's family, from the WNBA, or from the government early on. And honestly, we weren't hearing that much about her in the media either. I mean, her story was definitely getting coverage, but it wasn't the kind of coverage that you might expect for an athlete of her status, right? She's a two-time Olympic gold medalist, a seven-time WNBA All-Star. And so a lot of the conversation early on shifted to, well, why aren't we talking about Brittany Griner? Does it have to do with the fact that she's a woman or the fact that she's a Black openly gay woman? And I mean, that's an understandable line of thinking, right? Just do the mental exercise here. What if LeBron James or Kevin Durant had been detained and was being held in a Russian detainment facility? It's hard to believe that wouldn't have turned into a media frenzy. Mm-hmm. But, you know, here's the thing. The lack of public attention is exactly what her family and those working on her behalf wanted early on. You know, there's a reason we first learned about her detainment from a Russian state media press release and not from her family. WNBA Commissioner Kathy Engelbert later confirmed that the strategy early on was to, quote, say less and push more privately behind the scenes.
And the idea of keeping things as low profile as possible, that was because they felt more attention could actually hurt her cause or jeopardize her safety.
Exactly. Her team was working to find a solution before her detainment became public. You know, maybe hoping the Russian government didn't yet realize who she was. But even if they did know who she was, more media attention could complicate efforts to have her released, or at least that was the thinking. You know, if there was nonstop media coverage and people out in the streets demanding her release, that might make the Russian government feel like they have more leverage or political capital in negotiations, right? And going back to this idea of a relative media silence, I also know from conversations with some other journalists that some media outlets were following a no Brittany Griner coverage approach, you know, out of respect to her and her safety.
Yeah, I remember we had this exact discussion a few weeks ago in a staff meeting.
Right. But as you know, Tiff, there's now been a shift in the approach of Brittany Griner's team. One sign of that happened about 3 weeks ago when Chinwe Ogwumike, the president of the WNBA Players Union, went on Good Morning America to talk about Brittany Griner's detainment.
Can you just give us a sense of the mood amongst your fellow WNBA players about the detainment?
Sure. No, thank you so much for having me. And as you mentioned, you know, it's tough. BG is us. We are BG. You know, that could have been us.
This wasn't a plea to go in the streets and protest or anything like that. Ogwumike more used it as an opportunity to talk about how much WNBA players get paid and why they go to places like Russia to play basketball in the first place. But there was definitely a shift in her tone and her messaging.
And given the nature of Brittany's situation, when it happened, it was very important for us to be intentional about doing the best thing to ensure that we don't compromise her coming home. And so a lot of that had to do with educating ourselves about the, you know, the details of what was going on as much as we could know.
And around that same time, we also heard WNBA Commissioner Kathy Engelbert speak publicly about Griner for the first time.
I can't be any more real about the situation she's in. And certainly we're trying everything we can, every angle, working through with her legal representation, her agent, elected leaders, the administration, just everybody in our ecosystem to try and find ways to get her home safely and very as quickly as we can.
And so it's really because her team has shifted in its approach that we are now talking about her case as well.
Okay. And I want to get to the latest developments in her case. But first, what do we know about Brittany's condition? Do we know where she is and how she's doing?
So the only public update we've had is from Ned Price, who's a spokesperson for the State Department. He talked about Brittany Griner in an interview with CNN back in late March. And he confirmed that someone from the U.S. Embassy had been allowed to visit her at the detainment facility.
Just an update for her family, if they're watching, or her wife. How is she? What is her condition?
There's only so much I can say, but what I can say is that our official found Brittany Griner to be in good condition, and we will continue to do everything we can to see to it that she is treated fairly throughout this ordeal.
So she was in good condition, whatever that means. The Associated Press also reported back in March that Griner's legal team in Russia had seen her multiple times, and they said she was doing, quote, okay. According to a government spokesperson, Griner was sharing a cell with two other female detainees who reportedly spoke English and were apparently helping her communicate with staff at the detention facility and find books. And the spokesperson also mentioned that the beds in the facility were not intended for someone as tall as Brittany. So put all that together and you have a bit of a picture of what her situation has been like. But, you know, keep in mind too that much of this information has been coming from official state channels. So take it with a grain of salt.
Mm-hmm. All right. So tell us about the latest developments in her case.
Right. So there have been two big developments very recently. The first is that another American was released from a Russian prison last week.
Trevor Reed, a former U.S. Marine arrested in Russia nearly 3 years ago, is coming home.
Trevor Reed, a former Marine who had been convicted of assaulting a Russian police officer back in 2019, was sentenced to 9 years in prison. He and his family maintained his innocence throughout. And last week, he was released as part of a prisoner swap.
Now, Reed was swapped in this extraordinary exchange, even in peace times, this morning for a Russian pilot who was serving a 20-year sentence in the U.S. for a cocaine smuggling conspiracy.
This was something that the U.S. government had reportedly been working on for a very long time, and then it just suddenly happened. And when Reed's parents spoke with CNN a few days ago, they actually mentioned another American who is still in prison in Russia, a guy named Paul Whelan, and they mentioned Brittany Griner.
Miss Griner, we saw a wonderful note from her wife on Instagram, a beautiful letter, and our hearts.
Yeah, our hearts go out to you. We appreciate the graciousness of her statement, and our hearts go out to her.
And so what does the release of Trevor Reed mean for Brittany Griner's situation? It certainly seems like a positive sign.
Well, yeah, I put that question to a guy named Tom Firestone. He's a lawyer who used to work for the Justice Department in Moscow. He lived in Russia for about 7 years, and he actually worked with the Russian government on criminal justice system reforms. And he said, yes, this is a hopeful sign, but with a pretty large asterisk.
It's a hopeful sign because it confirms the channels of communication are still open and that the parties are willing to discuss these kinds of exchanges. On the other hand, I wouldn't get too carried away because we see how difficult these things are. The Reed situation, had the negotiations have been going on for years or so. It may be that, you know, this one also takes some time.
He also pointed out that Trevor Reed developed some serious health issues while he was in a Russian prison, possibly including tuberculosis and COVID.
Wow.
That might have contributed to Russia's agreeing to release him. And, you know, illnesses are not, as far as we know, something that Brittany Griner has been dealing with.
Okay, so the release of Trevor Reed was the first big development. What's the second?
So the second is something that just happened on Tuesday, and that is a shift in how the U.S. government now classifies Griner's situation. ESPN first reported this, but basically, the U.S. government now considers Griner to be wrongfully detained in Russia. And as Tom Firestone explained it to me, there are a number of things the government takes into account when making that designation.
Whether or not there's reason to believe the person is innocent, whether or not they are being used to try to influence U.S. government policy, whether or not they're being held in inhumane conditions, whether or not diplomatic intervention is necessary to secure their release, whether or not the judicial system of the foreign country meets certain basic standards.
He said, we don't know which of those things might have led to this change in categorization, but what it means essentially is that her case will now get a higher level of attention from the government, and they'll no longer try to fight her case within the Russian legal system, which had been part of the original plan. And while Brittany Griner isn't technically considered a hostage by the letter of the law, she will be treated more like a hostage by the U.S. government as opposed to someone who might have committed a crime in a foreign country.
Now, again, we don't know what provoked this. It could well be that the Russians, you know, realized what they had in her and then said to the U.S. government, we're not going to let her go unless you release persons X, Y, and Z. And then you are moving into the hostage situation because it's basically the foreign government saying, we're not going to let this person go unless you do the following. That's a hostage.
And so now that Brittany Griner is in this new category, what exactly will the government efforts to get her out look like? And do we know who will be involved?
So her case is now going to be handled by a division of the State Department called the Special Presidential Envoy for Hostage Affairs, or SPEHA.
The SPIHA office was created in 2015 after an internal review of U.S. hostage policy following the tragic deaths of American journalists and aid workers held captive by ISIS and complaints from hostage families that the government hadn't been proactive enough.
And that office is led by a guy named Roger Karstens, who is a diplomat and a retired U.S. Army Special Forces officer.
Majority of our cases are actually what we call wrongful detentions. It's when a nation state actually is detaining American essentially unjustly. They want to use that person for political leverage. They want to use him as a bargaining chip.
And Karstens will be assisted by a guy named Bill Richardson, a former U.S. ambassador to the U.N. and former governor of New Mexico, who, by the way, has interacted with Vladimir Putin in the past and has worked on some other big geopolitical negotiations.
I met him once in the Clinton administration when he first came in. I don't think he has the edge, but he's clearly been very unhelpful to the United States. He's a very crafty guy. He hasn't played it straight, but he's, you know, he's somebody that is, he's a big player here.
And when I asked Tom Firestone about those two guys, you know, he made it clear that they wouldn't have gotten to where they are today if they were not exceptionally good at what they do.
They're obviously both well-respected. I mean, Karstens would not have been appointed to that position unless there was great confidence in him and his ability to resolve these highly sensitive matters. And Karstens is obviously involved in the Reid case and successfully got Mr. Reid out. Richardson's has been involved in a number of these situations. You know, Reid is out. So I think that speaks well for both of them.
There will, of course, be other people involved as well. But overall, it looks like this very high-powered team will now be giving Brittany Griner's case a lot of attention.
And so overall, this feels like a very positive development.
It definitely seems like it. As Tom Firestone pointed out, the U.S. government probably wouldn't have made this change in approach or announced it publicly if they didn't have some degree of confidence that they'll be able to get Brittany Griner out.
When they make this statement, they are basically raising the profile of the case. They're drawing public attention to it. So it puts more pressure on them, self-created pressure, to do something to get her out. So it will hopefully succeed.
And, you know, considering where things stand with U.S.-Russian relations at the moment, with all the sanctions over the war in Ukraine, with talk about nuclear war, the fact that the two sides seem willing to talk and to negotiate at all is definitely a positive sign for Brittany Griner as well.
I had previously been very pessimistic about the ability of the U.S. government to do anything given the current political situation. But look, the result in the Reid case speaks for itself. He is now a free man. A month ago, he was not. So I think that that's encouraging that they are getting behind this case in this way.
Well, Anders, thanks for digging into this and breaking it all down for us.
My pleasure, Tiff.
Coming up, what to watch for when Brittany Griner's team, the Phoenix Mercury, and other teams around the WNBA begin the season this weekend.
If you travel, you know when it comes to love.
See you soon.
Can't wait.
The sky is no limit. You know with your Delta Amex card, being oceans apart means meeting in Aruba. And booking a war travel with your card means saving 15% on Delta flights. You know, kissing under the bridge of sighs guarantees eternal love. Because you're the long-distance lovebirds. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Take off 15 discount not applicable to partner-operated flights or taxes and fees. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/you know.
If I asked you how many subscriptions you have, would you be able to list all of them and how much you're paying? If you would have asked me this question before I started using Rocket Money, I would have said yes. But let me tell you, I would have been so wrong. I can't believe how many I had and all the money I was wasting. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/Wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/Wondery. rocketmoney.com/Wondery.
When you choose Organic Valley, not only will you be enjoying great tasting dairy, you'll help to save over 1,600 small organic family farms who are protecting over 400,000 acres of organic farmland and all the plants and animals that call it home. This is dairy you can feel good about. It's great tasting, high quality organic dairy, ethically sourced from small organic family farms. To find Organic Valley Dairy near you, visit ov.coop. That's ov.coop.
Sabrina Merchant, welcome to The Lead.
Thanks so much for having me.
Thanks for being here. So Sabrina, we spent the first half of this episode discussing Brittany Griner's situation in Russia and the hope that she may return to the U.S. sooner than later. But now we wanted to shift our focus back onto the court and the storylines to keep an eye on during the WNBA season, which is about to begin. So let's start with Griner's team, the Phoenix Mercury. What is the forecast for this team without Brittany Griner in the lineup?
The thing with the Mercury is they're so top heavy that the regular season is just perennially a slog for Phoenix because they invest so much of their cap into superstars that it's hard to have the depth to fill out for a full regular season. And I think we saw that last year too when they finished fifth and then made the run to the WNBA finals. So with or without Griner, I wouldn't expect this team to have a ton of regular season success. I'm a little concerned just defensively. You know, Brittany's a huge force in the middle and like deters a lot of shots. So as far as the Mercury are concerned, I think they're going to be like super high powered offensively. You know, anytime you can combine Skylar Diggins-Smith, Taurasi and Tina Charles, like that's a lot of scoring power. But I do worry a little bit about their defense. I think on the whole, it's going to be like a slightly average, above average team during the regular season. Not to say that that can't change during the playoffs, obviously, but I wouldn't expect them to be lighting the doors on fire, you know, during the 36 games to start the year.
This is Diana Taurasi's 18th season. And I mean, 18 seasons is insane to me. So what can we expect from her?
I think we're going to see, you know, some load management from Diana Taurasi. Like, I wouldn't expect her to play more than like 28 games, you know, just to be conservative in terms of preparing for the playoffs. And then also because this is a shorter regular season, given the fact that the WNBA has to finish in time for the World Cup, which is happening in September. So I don't think this is like an all WNBA season that we should be expecting from Diana Taurasi. I think she'll look really great some nights, and then some nights it'll look like she's in her 18th WNBA season and then 40 years old and probably unable to summon it all the time. But I'm just excited to watch her play because when she's going, there's literally nobody in the league that's more fun to watch than Diana Taurasi.
Definitely. Now, you mentioned this a little bit before, but Phoenix just missed claiming their fourth WNBA championship last year, losing to the Chicago Sky in the finals. So let's now talk about last year's champion. The Sky are led by hometown hero Candace Parker, and this is a team that seemed to come out of nowhere to win that title. So do they have what it takes to repeat?
Well, nobody in the WNBA has repeated in 20 years. The last team to do it was the Los Angeles Sparks in 2001 and 2002. And even though I think Chicago has probably the most talented team in the WNBA this year, or at least among the top, you know, one or two most talented teams, it's just hard to bet on that repeat streak ending just because there's so many factors that go into whether a team is going to be peaking at the right time. And Chicago, like you mentioned, you know, they finished the regular season 16-16 last year and then just played their best month of basketball at the very end of the season just in time to claim a title. So I would expect the Sky to be a much better regular season team this year. You know, they have basically their whole core back other than Stephanie Dolson, who's been replaced with Emma Mieseman. Her and Candace Parker together on the front line, like, I mean, like, I'm salivating just thinking about it. It's like so much offensive goodness. It's crazy to think about. But, you know, I think they're going to be really, really good just because they have so much offensive talent. I think we're headed for just an astounding Kalia Copper season. Like, she was so good during the postseason last year. She was excellent during this European campaign, too. She was like the MVP of the EuroLeague with her team in Spain. So I would expect her to just be like on the short list of MVP candidates this year. She's the one player on Chicago who's like, you know, approaching her prime, not on the other side of it. So even if they deal with some, you know, health concerns among the older players on the roster, like, I think Copper's just the kind of talent who can carry them throughout the regular season. And then, you know, when the playoffs come, watch out.
Now, you recently wrote about the Minnesota Lynx, stating that this team, quote, might be the trickiest puzzle yet for Cheryl Rieu to figure out. Why is that?
You know, the Lynx had quite the morning today. They waived, I think, six players from their preseason roster. From when I wrote that about Minnesota 3 days ago to now, they're like an entirely different roster, which just speaks to the fact that Cheryl Rieu has had to do so much work just to figure out who is even going to play on this team this year. You know, their backcourt is always a concern to me because you've got Sylvia Fowles, arguably the best center in WNBA history, who looked potentially as good as she ever has last year when she won her fourth Defensive Player of the Year award. You've got Angel McCautry, you know, Kayla McBride, Ariel Powers on the wing, but they've always had this point guard issue. And the fact that they waived both of their point guards from a year ago, 3 days before the start of the regular season, I don't know, it's a little cause for concern. Maybe I'm reading too much into it, but that seems like a bad thing to happen when you're trying to, you know, fix some offensive issues that may have sprouted up a year ago. But here we are with an entirely new starting backcourt in Minnesota for the start of the season. It just also speaks to just the crazy nature of trying to make a roster in the WNBA because, like I just said, Crystal Dangerfield was the Rookie of the Year 2 years ago and was waived 3 days before the start of the regular season. Like, Renia Davis, a top 10 pick last year, hasn't had a chance to play in the WNBA. It's an impossible thing to try to make one of these rosters, and I feel so badly for all these players who got cut so soon to the start of the regular season because you think you're in this stable organization, the Minnesota Lynx, like the paragon of WNBA success over the last decade. And it's like, bam, you know, no comfort whatsoever.
Well, I want to ask you about the rookies now. The WNBA draft was just a few weeks ago after South Carolina won the NCAA national championship. Which rookies do you think will have breakout seasons this year?
You know, I'm really excited for the Indiana Fever rookies because I think they're going to have the most opportunity to just play, first of all, because there aren't a lot of veterans on Indiana's roster. Destiny Henderson, you know, of that national champion South Carolina, just personally one of the most fun players to watch, just her pace up and down the court, the way she gets into it defensively. Emily Angsler was someone who I kind of just discovered during the tournament. She always somehow makes an impact in like every single play, even when she's not scoring. I'm just fascinated by like the whole list of Indiana rookies. Like they could run out five rookies as a collective lineup with those two, Lexi Hull and Alyssa Smith and Queen Egbo. And like, that's a real lineup. The Fever have been like a rough watch in recent years because there wasn't exactly a lot of hope for the future. They've given up on a lot of their previous rookies, but now like there's a vision for what they're trying to do. And I'm very excited for those rookies in particular to see if they can be, you know, the group that finally gets the Fever out of the WNBA basement.
And finally, Sabrina, it wouldn't be a WNBA season preview if we didn't ask you the inevitable question. Who do you predict will be covered in confetti celebrating their 2022 WNBA championship win at the end of the season?
You know, every year that Breanna Stewart is healthy, the Seattle Storm managed to win a championship. And I find it hard to pick against them if Breanna Stewart is ready to go. Now, I realize that is not a certainty. You know, she did not play overseas this year because she was still dealing with that Achilles injury that cost her the 2021 postseason. So I'm not banking on perfect health, but that Seattle team, you know, Jewel Lloyd coming into her own, like Sue Bird's last season, it's a little poetic. If she were to go out on top, I mean, I love the addition of Gabby Williams, who just had a tremendous, you know, European season as well. Every time I watch Seattle, I think when they're healthy, no one is beating them. And unfortunately, as is so often the case in WNBA, because of the year-round schedules, not everyone is healthy when you want them to be. But as long as Stewie's around, Storm are my pick.
Seattle Storm. All right, you heard it here first. Well, thank you so much, Sabrina, for breaking this down. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks so much.
Sabrina Merchant is the director of women's basketball content at SB Nation. And check out her WNBA YouTube show, The Step Through. From Wondery, I'm Tiffany Oshinsky. Thanks for listening. To hear more of The Lead, you can follow us on Amazon Music, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts. Or to listen to us on your Alexa-enabled device, just say, Alexa, play The Lead podcast.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for real.
Winning is an everyday mindset, and we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for Ways to Win. We're kicking off during March Madness. Cal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt, So throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.